My guest today is Ed Charbonneau. Ed, how are you?
Great, David. How are you doing?
It's great to have you back. I'm doing great, by the way. It's great to have you back on the show. It's been a while. I haven't seen you in a long time, but we did speak recently. You recently interviewed me for your podcast.
Yes, actually I did.
Tell us about your podcast.
So my podcast is called Eat Sleep Code. It's the official Telerik podcast. Mm-hmm. So I do this podcast as part of our DevRel program, and I talk to amazing developers from all over, including yourself.
I was proud to be a part of that sentence.
So you get to come on the show and talk about Microsoft's cognitive services and what kind of solutions you can build with those. And we had a lot of fun talking about the different brainstorming ideas that we came up with of all the fantastic uses you could come up with those.
We'll put a link in the show notes to that podcast so viewers can see that excellent show and other ones. But we should talk about something else today. What should we talk about?
So kind of queuing off the cognitive services, I've been dabbling with machine learning.
Uh-huh.
So we could talk a little bit about machine learning. I'm far from the expert.
Well, let's start with that, because machine learning, one, it's a hot topic right now. I know that if you add the words machine learning to your LinkedIn profile, your spam will go up exponentially. People are looking for data scientists and machine learning experts. And you're saying, what was your level before you started studying this?
So I'm in it for the clickbait.
The clickbait.
I'm just kidding. So my level going in is I'm just really interested as a geek to find out what I'm capable of doing as a developer who knows absolutely nothing about machine learning, but understands full stack web development.
So you're an experienced developer with no experience at all. It's machine learning. And one day you said, you know what? I'm going to tackle this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can see it being used in so many things that I'm already using day to day. You see Cortana with the ability to do speech recognition,
right.
HoloLens to be able to do the capability of finding surfaces within the room.
It's amazing.
And just understanding a 3D space.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, to my understanding, fall into AI or machine learning.
Right.
So I'm seeing all these applications for it, and I'm curious as a developer, how do I get involved? And with my understanding of it, which is very little, how far can I take that?
How did you use it? What was your first step?
So I did a little research into Azure Machine Learning.
Mm-hmm.
There are some excellent videos out there, but I'm more of a hands-on person, so I kind of skip past those,
right.
Which is probably bad advice. But there's some really cool tutorials that they do with Azure Machine Learning Studio where it shows you step-by-step in a very animated way. Where it just kind of shows you how to drag widgets onto the design surface,
right.
And connect the dots. And then I had to kind of read about what each of those components did and what their role is in building a machine learning.
Right. I had the same experience. I've been through a couple of those tutorials, and they do make things easier. They take care of some of the stuff that we used to have to write a lot of code for, like getting data or splitting up data into test versus modeling data, or filling in what to do with incomplete data, things like that. You can do that with properties, but you still have to understand the concepts of machine learning in order to know which shapes to drag and how to arrange them and what properties to set.
So I had the amazing opportunity to talk to Jennifer Marsman on the podcast as well.
She's a very smart lady.
Yes, extremely. And her expertise is in machine learning.
Yeah.
So Jennifer taught me just by being on the podcast enough to be dangerous.
Enough to get started.
So the general concept that I understood was...
Did she teach you how to read minds?
Yes, she did tell me how she did the mind reading. So her program was, like a lie detector is what she built, right? So by listening to her story about how she built her mind detecting algorithm, I kind of understood the basics.
Right.
Okay, so you need lots of data. So in the machine learning library, they have some examples that you can use. So I grabbed a credit reporting library of data. So it's lots of credit data and whether those loans were paid off or not. So the other thing I understood about the machine learning is that you need to train a certain portion of the data and then validate against another part of it. So you split the data up, say 70-30, 70% goes towards training the machine learning algorithm, then the other 30% goes back and validates whether the algorithm understands the data enough to find those values
in the test. Tells you the number of false positives and false negatives and true positives, true negatives, that sort of thing.
So just by what you said there, you know, false positives, true negatives, and all of that, there's a widget that you drag into the interface, and it scores your model. So I had no clue what those numbers meant.
Wow.
So thankfully, there is some help that you can find in the tooling. So if you drag one of these widgets onto your design surface, there's a little help button that you can click, and lots of words will come up that you don't understand, and you can look up the definitions to those. And eventually, with enough persistence, you can build some really cool stuff with very limited knowledge of what you're doing.
Oh, very limited when you started, though. But I think it sounds like by going through this process of building a machine learning model, it increased your understanding of actually what machine learning is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the kind of learner that likes to just jump in head first.
Right.
Like, jump into the deep end of the swimming pool and hope you learn how to swim. Right? So
there's no risk in that.
Like I said, there's plenty of great video material out there and courseware that you can take online. I believe there's actually like free academic courses that Microsoft's offering.
Mm.
But again, I skipped right up past all that and got hands-on and jumped in and start dragging, dropping things on the surface and just reading through the documentation as I went.
Was your goal just to increase your overall knowledge, or did you have an end goal in mind, what to do with this machine learning?
Yeah, so I wanted to increase my overall knowledge of it, for one. I don't expect to be an expert in it. It's a very huge field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even believe I may have the statistical knowledge to back up doing something like that.
There's a 47.2% chance that's true.
Right. So, you know, even my background doesn't really support me doing this professionally, right?
Because you're more of a front-end guy, right?
Yeah, I'm more of a front-end ASP.NET MVC developer.
Does machine learning have any relevance to a front-end developer?
That was one of my goals, right, is to understand how this new technology plays its role in the full stack that I'm used to, meaning you have a database, you have a server-side business layer, and then a client-side HTML layer. So where does machine learning fit in all of it, and how can I understand it better? So if I'm on a team that has a database layer and a machine learning layer and a front-end web layer, how can I talk to those team members that are the professionals using this stuff better?
Right.
You know, if I understand at least the basic concepts of what they're doing.
Well, what in, you said machine learning layer, like how do these pieces fit together? Like what, how would if you're building a front end application, how are you going to use machine learning?
So if you think of an application prior to machine learning, you may have a SQL database, and then you have your business logic layer that may be embedded in your ASP.NET MVC application. Some of that logic may be in a controller, or if you have more separation of concerns, you may have some extra business logic.
Mm-hmm.
With Azure Machine Learning, you're going to have an additional web service that you're calling into the back end of your application, and then interfacing with say MVC or some other server-side technology. I would prefer MVC myself because that's what I'm an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would talk to the web service that is the machine learning algorithm.
What does that web service do? Is it running all of your algorithm again, what's the input and the output of this web service?
Yeah, so it's kind of a three-step process. You build your machine learning experiment,
mm-hmm.
And then you validate it,
mm-hmm.
and then you create your machine learning model, and your predictive model is built. Once you have that, you actually literally click one button in Azure Machine Learning Studio.
Uh-huh. Some people call that ML Studio.
Yeah, ML Studio. One button click that says deploy web service, and this goes back and analyzes your predictive model and attaches two endpoints to it. One is an input, one is an output. The input feeds data into the algorithm, and then the output gives you the results from it.
Oh, okay. So if I can paraphrase that, it's not going to run the entire model again. Like if you're pulling in hundreds of thousands of rows of data and analyzing that data and trying to come up with some predictive model for it, it's not. You do that ahead of time. Basically, you do that once and then click the button. Now you have a web service and it knows what that resulting algorithm is, what that predictive model is, which would run a lot quicker because it doesn't have to crunch through a lot of data.
Yeah,
you just
that's
put an input, essentially one row of data. Mm-hmm. Say, here's the inputs. What are the expected outputs based on what I learned earlier? Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly. Yeah, you've got those three steps, the training, the actual model. Like you said, you don't have to retrain. You can, after you collect more data, you can retrain.
Okay. But the user's not waiting for that. Right. So if you're building a UI, they don't want to sit there and wait for you to crunch through a lot of data. They want to take advantage of the data you've already crunched through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the Azure ML Studio will give you those actual times of how long it took to make the web request as well. So if it's, 0.05 seconds, it'll tell you, how quick that is happening. So once you have that piece, you do need some kind of server-side technology, as far as I can tell, because there are machine key or there are private keys that are involved.
Ah, okay.
So you don't want to open that up to your JavaScript.
You could call it from JavaScript, but then you're passing these keys across the internet, which is not real secure.
It would be very hard to secure those, and something is open as JavaScript in the browser.
Sure.
So I would assume there's some sort of server-side technology involved in kind of arbitrating between the machine learning and your front end. So you'd have some kind of little bit of a middle layer that maybe does some mapping between the inputs that you're gathering from the web side of things and then sending that off to Azure to do the processing and get your result back.
I see. Are you going to build some real-world stuff with this?
So I'm building not so much real-world stuff, but at least a very robust demo.
Okay, because you're an evangelist. Mm-hmm. You're all about the demos.
Yeah, so I'm working
evangelist for Telerik.
For Telerik, actually, we are, as a company, Progress.
Oh, sorry.
Telerik is now the brand of products that I represent for Progress.
I see.
But yes, the products from Telerik, like UI for ASP.NET, UI for ASP.NET Core, so we fully support ASP.NET Core now. Mm. So we have our 80-plus UI controls, charts, graphs, grids, you name it. Those are all
supported.
Run
those on Linux now.
Yeah, they run on Linux, they run on Apple, and you can develop and deploy any cross-platform style you'd like with our UI controls. We're also in the middle of launching our Kendo UI for Angular product. So it's in release candidate now.
Okay.
And we're looking to fully release that soon. And if you are an Angular developer, then you'll be real excited because we're coming to the Angular community with those wonderful controls that we build. And they are written from the ground up using Angular. They're not wrapped jQuery components like a lot of other vendors are using.
Interesting. Oh, okay, I'll take a look at that. Actually, I just got word last night that I'm giving an Angular talk in Transylvania next month. Mm-hmm. So who wouldn't be excited about that, right? Yeah.
So my end goal to all of this is, the learning part on my own just to understand it, but the project that I'll build will give me fuel to write lots of articles about this. And I plan on starting with, some basics about the machine learning. Mm-hmm. And then once the demo is built, then I can front end it with all kinds of cool stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I can build a UI for ASP.NET Core application and show people how to use some of our really cool drop-down components and stuff. So it's a credit scoring app that I'm writing.
Okay.
So you can imagine, you open your bank account and you have some extra inputs that you enter on top of your account, and it tells you whether you're pre-approved for a loan or not based on the data you provided and the data it has about your account.
Oh, that's the predictive analysis that you're doing. The data you got had information about, salary and employment history and neighborhoods and credit history, right?
Yeah.
And the output is, what's your credit score? Are you approved? Maybe it's just a binary, approved, deny.
A lot of it is your credit history, your credit score, whether you've defaulted on some loans or not,
right.
How many years you've worked in a job.
Okay.
So some of these things may be manual inputs. Some of them may be something that you would, you know, just using our imagination, you know, get from a credit bureau as a web service, and then put that in a user interface. And, you know, we can show nice charts and graphs on this is your credit score and whether that's good or bad. You know, using Kendall.
Oh, there you go. Now you're the full stack. Mm-hmm. Now you've tied together the front end, nice visualizations, input output with this relatively complex back end to do machine learning and predictive analysis.
Yeah, and we are fortunate enough at Telerik to have UIs for Xamarin. We have native script, which is another way of building cross-platform.
Yeah, that's your own toolkit for that, right?
So we're hoping to write some front ends for that as well, so we can show just this wide range of ways that you can interact with this Azure machine learning web service we create.
Very cool stuff. Other people, I know there's a lot of people out there that are where you were a short time ago, that they know machine learning is a big deal, they want to learn it, but they don't have any experience in it. What would you say to them? Where should they go?
I would go to the Azure Machine Learning website.
Okay.
And just look through some of the documentation that's there. Like I said, there's lots of stuff there as far as videos, documentation, just get hands-on with it. As soon as you start it up, there's a button that says watch a quick tutorial, I think.
Okay.
And when you hit okay, it literally like takes the interface and you watch it drag and drop.
Oh, it's a screencast.
Like, oh, okay, yeah. And you can, you know, kind of follow along in your mind, like, okay, these things get dropped here, and then you connect the dots, and then that's where it kind of gets fuzzy. You have to know what each of those components does.
Okay.
But, you know, like I said, there's a way to click on those components and hit help, and you get a really good explanation of what the component does and what all the inputs and outputs are from that component. The hard part is knowing some of the definitions that are in there you may not have seen before.
Right.
And like I said, there's a lot of statistical analysis terms that you may not be familiar with if you're a software developer, but maybe not coming from that statistical background like I am.
And you have an online presence. Well, first of all, you have a podcast. Where's your podcast?
Yes. So you can really find everything about me at developer.telerik.com.
I see.
That is our DevRel blog for all of the awesome people that are on my team, like Sam Basu, Jen Looper, Bart Collin, the whole group is just amazing.
Lots of smart people.
Yeah, lots of smart people. So if you're looking for stuff on Xamarin or Native Script or ASP.NET, you'll find us there. You'll find the podcast there. If you have a user group, you'll find information on how you can get some swag for your group there. Huh. So developer.telerik.com is where it's at. You can find me on Twitter by my name, at Ed Charbonneau. And edcharbonneau.com as well. So you can find me fairly easily online. I have a pretty unique last name. So quick search will turn up lots of things, lots of positive things.
Ed, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, David. Really appreciate you having me on the show. So I talked a lot about machine learning on the show, and hopefully that technology hasn't made your friends and you just don't know it yet. So they could be a bot existing in the cloud somewhere, maybe you are too, and we're all just part of a big machine learning algorithm.